Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Do the Right Thing Right with your host, Phyllis Wilson, the Do Right Guru. We may not have all the answers, but we'll help you find them. We're coming to you live from Houston, Texas, as we do every Thursday at 12 noon Central Standard Time. Our format is 30 minutes to allow for a short lessons learned application regarding ethics. For call-ins, dial 646-478-3840 or interact in our chat room.
Hi, I want to welcome everybody to Do the Right Thing Right for Thursday, May the 14th, and I'm your host, Phyllis Wilson, and I'm coming to you live from Houston, Texas, and I want to remind our audience for call-ins to dial 646-478-3840 or interact in our chat room. And so I also want to tell our audience about a new thing that I've started on Thursdays on Facebook at 3 a.m. Strategies on Facebook. And there we have a thought-provoking Thursday. Well, I will present an ethical dilemma and ask you what are your thoughts. So check that out next time you're on Facebook. That's 3 a.m. Strategies. All right, so today's guest is Andrea Stenberg. And Andrea, thank you for being on the show today.
Well, thanks for having me, Phyllis.
Great. Listen, Andrea, tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I have quite a varied background, as I think a lot of entrepreneurs do. But before I started my business, most of my training was either in marketing or journalism. And when I started my business 10 years ago, social media marketing was kind of in its infancy. But as social media has become more important, I've learned that my journalism training along with my marketing training really are excellent partners in the social media marketing world because, I can take what I learned in journalism and craft a story and speak so I don't sound like I'm, giving the hard sell, and it comes across better on social media. So, what I've been doing for 10 years is helping entrepreneurs grow their business and, focusing on social media as a marketing tool. And I also write a blog, The Baby Boomer Entrepreneur, which I talk about social media. I talk about really any business topic that strikes my fancy, but I really focus on the social media for business.
Oh, wow. So let me ask you this, Andrea. I wanted you to share it with our audience because a lot of them are business owners, is that I asked you if you had to use only one social media and no other one, which one would you use? So tell us what you said and why.
All right. Well, as I said, I'm not monogamous when it comes to my social media by any stretch of the imagination, and I probably use more than any normal human being should. But if I absolutely had to pick one, I would go with LinkedIn. And there's a few reasons for that. One is, because I published The Baby Boomer Entrepreneur, my clients tend to be more comfortable on LinkedIn because they kind of know how to engage because it's a business networking platform. People, don't have this, they don't share photos of their dinner or, videos of cats. It's all professional. So I think a lot of my clients feel much more comfortable on LinkedIn. And, I certainly enjoy networking on LinkedIn. I've met some really amazing people. And since I started using the LinkedIn publishing platform last summer, I've really seen a huge jump in the number of people who are viewing my profile and reaching out to connect and actually booking appointments or calling me or emailing me about becoming clients. And that is really exciting. I mean, when you have somebody calling you and asking how they can work with you rather than you having to initiate the process, it's really a lot of
right. Fun. Right, exactly. Wow. So tell me, how often do you blog?
It's changed over the years. When I first started, I was blogging 4 to 5 times a week. Last year, I kind of cut it back to about once a week. And then just recently, I started going back to trying to go for twice a week. Sometimes I don't get that second blog post in, but I'm finding the twice a week gets a little more traffic to my website and a little more productive. So I'm trying to stick to the twice a week.
Oh, okay. I just had to ask that question because I only blog once a month, and I was just trying to see what other entrepreneurs are doing. So, okay, well, great. Well, listen, Andrea, we wanted to hear about your ethical dilemma. So share us one that you have.
All right. Well, I kind of had to rack my brains a little bit because I'm trying to think, what's an ethical dilemma? And then I remembered a situation that happened early on. So it was almost 10 years ago. And I was approached by a gentleman who had written a book, and he needed somebody to help him edit the book to get it ready for publication. And I'd never edited a book. I'd done editing. I'd been an editor at a magazine. I've done freelance editing. So we had this conversation. I, you know, full disclosure, I said to him, I've never done a book, but this is a really exciting project. I would love the opportunity to work with you. And I said, you know, I'll give you a discount on the price because, you know, I've never done a book before. Mm-hmm. And so we chatted a little bit, and he said, okay, I'm going to give you one chapter. We'll try it out, and then we'll see. So, you know, I took his chapter. I dove in. I, you know, worked really hard, did my best work, came back to him. And he started arguing with me about grammar. And the thing is, this gentleman, English is not his first language, and he did not speak English very well. So, it wasn't even style. It was really about grammar points. And we, we were really butting heads over this. And that was sort of the ethical dilemma right there is, should I continue on or should I keep going? And it was a friend of mine refers to this as entrepreneurial prostitution. It's like, you know, when you're first starting your business and you're really hungry and you got the hydro bill coming up or something, and you kind of go, okay, I'll do anything. If somebody's going to pay me, I'll do it. So I made the big mistake of, you know, when he started arguing about grammar when he didn't speak English very well, I should have known this is not going to work. And at that point, I should have said, thank you very much for the opportunity to work with you. I don't think we're going to fit. I can recommend some people for you, but I think we shouldn't work together. That's what I should have done.
Mm-hmm.
What I did was, you know, we finally agreed on the first chapter, and then we continued on. And, you know, I really paid the price because I worked almost full-time on this project for 2 months, and he paid me $1,000. At the end of the 2 months, he fired me, didn't pay me what he owed me, and so I earned $1,000 for 2 months' work, full-time work.
Mm.
And
mm-hmm.
So that's where I kind of learned, you know what? I can't, you know, you can't work with everybody. You can't be everything to everybody, and sometimes there's just not a right fit.
Right.
And even just more recently, I had another situation where I had a client who, she was a professional musician, classical musician, in fact, and she worked with other classical musicians to help them manage their careers, and she wanted me to manage her social media. And the thing of it is I know very little about classical music. Like, I know, you know, Tchaikovsky, and that's about it. And so finally, I just, you know, I had to say, look, I can give you strategy. I can teach you how to do this, but I can't talk about classical music to other classical musicians because I just don't know enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you have to find somebody else because I can't do a good job for you. So, so it's not necessarily that we were butting heads. It's just I'm not smart right. enough in that particular field to be able to do it.
Right. So, yeah, a lot of times just being able to say no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's hard to do in your early days, but sometimes you just got to do it.
right.
So do you think if you I want to know is, did he publish the book?
You know, I don't know. I never did see it anywhere, so I have no idea if he did publish the book. I know shortly after he fired me, he hired about two other people after me and fired them and then left town. So I never did find out if he published the book or not.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's sometimes it's hard to walk away because you want to help, you know. But I think a lot of people have that helping gene where they like to help people, and sometimes it's just not meant for you to help them.
Yeah, and then you certainly, if you're an entrepreneur, probably, you know, part of the reason you started a business is because you have some gift and you want to help people with that gift, you know, there's, you know, sort of an adage in business saying, you know, never say no to a customer. I always go forward.
Right.
And so when you get to that point where you realize you just can't do the job, whether it's because the other person is unreasonable or because you just don't have the skill set for it, I think there are times when you really do need to walk away, and it's really to the benefit of yourself as well as the other person.
Right. So let's go back to social media for a minute. I was going to ask you, my question is twofold. One is, how do you, what is your preferred method of tweeting on using Twitter? And how do you stay caught up on all the Twitter feeds that you get?
Well, I use multiple tools on Twitter. I've got the Twitter app on my cell phone, which is a big use of how I do a lot of tweeting. I also use a web browser tool called Buffer App, which lets you kind of schedule tweets. And I use that primarily for, you know, like in the morning, I'll often read, all, you know, the various blogs that I read. And if I find something interesting, I share it. But, you know, because I'm doing it in a big chunk, I might come across 5 or 10 things, and I don't want to do it all at once because people who are following me would, you know, Andrea, shut up already. But if I just spread it out over the day, that works. So that I use that way. And then I also use Hootsuite. Hootsuite lets you schedule posts, although mostly what I use Hootsuite for is for actually reading what other people are doing. Because what I did fairly early on is when I'm following somebody on Twitter, I add them to a list. And Hootsuite lets you have multiple columns. So I can have one column for my list of, you know, I've got a list of local people, you know, so I have that list. Or I have a list of marketing experts. I have a list of coaches. I have a list of people who I talk to frequently on Twitter. So I have all these columns so I can kind of drill down because I'm following, I don't know, more than 2,000 people. So if I was just looking at the mainstream, I would never see everybody. But I can just focus on sort of one segment of my list. I have another list of people who talk about the Toronto Blue Jays because I'm a big baseball fan. So when I'm watching the baseball game, I pull up my Blue Jays list. And yeah, so it's you know, so it's personal and business.
That's an excellent idea. I mean, wow, that's interesting. I'm gonna have to try that. Go ahead.
As we say, it keeps you from going crazy because if you're trying to follow everything at once, it's just not possible.
Right. Well, I didn't even know they had the feature of the list, so that's pretty awesome there.
Oh yeah, the best thing you can do on Twitter is start putting people into lists. And the nice thing is you can, like, there are public lists, so you can go to somebody else's Twitter profile and look at the list that they have, and if there's a list that you find interesting, you can just follow that list. But you can also create lists that are private, so that nobody else knows that you've put somebody in this list. So maybe there's a group of people that you're, you know, you really want them to be your customers. So you put them in a list because you want to follow everything they do and make sure you comment. But you don't necessarily want to, you know, flag them that you're trying to woo them to become a customer. So you can make that a little private list.
Oh, okay. Wow. There's some powerful stuff out there. You just have to use it. And I'm sure, I know on my cell phone, I'm not using it to its complete capabilities, but you just got to put that time aside to learn the stuff. It's not going away.
Yeah, and the more you know, the better you can do things.
Mhm. Mhm. So I take it you schedule a lot of your stuff ahead of time.
I do schedule a certain portion, but I do an awful lot of stuff that's live because I like to be able to sort of interact with people. So I do a bit of both.
If I'm sharing
links to other articles, you know, that a lot of those are scheduled. But I do try to, you know, spend some time live where I can, you know, retweet things that other people have posted, or comment, or answer questions, or just have conversations.
Mhm. Mhm. So, Andrea, how did you get into this?
I guess just about everything that I've done in social media has been sort of dragged in, kicking and screaming, I have to say. So, early on in my business, you know, I was hearing about blogging, and I thought, blogging, it's just teenagers sharing their angst online. Why would anybody do that? And then I heard a teleseminar where a business consultant was talking about how she was getting 80% of her clients from her blog. And I was like, this is interesting. So I did some research, and then I found somebody who was offering a course on blogging for business people. So I took the course, and I started blogging. And the idea with my blog was originally I was going to use it as sort of my first draft of a book. And I may still do this at some point. I haven't quite got around to compiling everything. But you know, I started blogging and started seeing, you know, that it's certainly great for search engine optimization. It's great for establishing authority. It's great for, you know, giving people a chance to sort of get a taste of who I am and what I do before they approach me about working for them. And so I started with that. And as I was going along, you know, because I started my blog in the early days of social media. And as sort of social media became more a part of the, you know, online world, I found, I was really enjoying social media. And then I started noticing that whenever I wrote a blog post about social media, those got way more traffic than anything else. And then the third thing I noticed was that a lot of the clients that I work with, the baby boomer entrepreneurs, are terrified of social media. Like, they know they need to do it, but it scares the pants off them. And I thought, this is my calling, because I love social media. I love working with entrepreneurs. And so I sort of made it my mission to help people get comfortable with social media so they can grow their businesses.
Oh, wow. Wow. So now for some of those who are wondering what a baby boomer is, because, you know, we do have some young folks on our listening in on our station. A baby boomer is, Angie and I were talking about, and that's somebody that's post-World War II up to maybe the mid-60s.
Yeah, depending on who you talk to, there's a different actual date, but somewhere in the mid-60s is kind of the cutoff. So, you know, the oldest baby boomers are in their late 60s, but the youngest baby boomers are, you know, in their early mid-50s. And so, you know, a lot of baby boomers still have a lot of working life ahead of them.
Right. Do you think a lot of people are turning into baby boomer entrepreneurs because they retired from a company and they're looking for something else to do? Have you found that?
Well, there's a a number of sort of different reasons. So, you know, one is definitely, you know, they've retired and, you know, maybe there's something that they always wish they'd done. Or I've seen a number of people who have really successful, well-paying careers, and they've just quit, and their family and their friends think they're nuts because they're walking away from a pension and whatever. But they've had some kind of burning desire to do something that's more meaningful with their life. So a lot of people are, you know, becoming entrepreneurs in their 50s. Because, you know, when they were in their 20s and 30s, they were just trying to, you know, pay the mortgage, feed their kids, put their kids through school. But once the mortgage is paid off and, you know, maybe your kids are out on their own, you can start thinking, hey, you know what, there's this little dream that I always put on the back burner. Maybe now's the time to do it before I run out of time. And so a lot of people, it's really about passion.
Right, exactly. I think that one of the things that I when I talk to young people is the importance of having a plan B, because you never know what's going to happen, and having a plan B can help you wade through your situation. And so what I'm talking about is. So a boy goes to college, and his parents want him to be an attorney or a doctor or something. And so he follows in their footsteps, and he goes to law school. And while he's in law school and pre-law, he's interested in music. So he's taking music lessons on the side, maybe hanging out with the band sometimes on the weekends, and he graduates from college and he gets a job as a attorney, and the next thing you know, the attorney's office is in a terrible lawsuit, and he may lose his job. Well, what does he do? He can either get on unemployment, he can look for another attorney job, which takes time, or he's got his plan B to fall back on. So I see that a lot of baby entrepreneurs are going with their plan Bs and doing something else with the rest of their life. So that's a good thing.
Absolutely. Well, and the other thing is, you know, like technology has changed, you know, social media marketing consultants did not exist 20 years ago. Nobody had even imagined them. So you know, somebody who's in college today, 40 years from now, we don't even know what the world is going to look like or what kind of jobs are going to be there. So you have to kind of be willing to be a little flexible. I certainly never thought that this is what my career was going to be, but it's absolutely where I should be, at least, you know, for right now.
That's good. It's always exciting to hear entrepreneurs that are excited about what they do, because it's important to be happy with your work.
Especially when you work for yourself, because you know you put in long hours and you don't always have a guaranteed paycheck at the end of the week, so you better enjoy what you're doing.
Right. So now, what's the name of your website again, Andrea?
It's thebabyboomerentrepreneur.com.
Okay. Babyboomerentrepreneur.com. So I want to remind our audience, we've got a few minutes left. I want to remind our audience for call-ins to dial 646-478-3840 or interact in our chat room. And, Andrew, I'm so glad you were on the show today. I learned a lot from you, and it's always interesting. I find social media fascinating. I think that I don't know how we did without it before. I mean, I remember, and I don't know if you remember, Andrea, but back when we used to have carbon paper, and you put it between
yes.
and And now we're tweeting everywhere, and just it's amazing how the technology has just has exploded, and there's no telling what, you know, what, like you said, what we'll be doing 20 years from now.
Well, yeah, you know, I remember, you know, typing papers on the little typewriter and then having to go in and write in the footnotes and by hand.
Yeah.
And I look
at
my son now, and he can do it all on the computer, and I'm just like, oh, that would have been so much easier.
I know. But, things have definitely changed. And that's part of life. You know, change is inevitable, you know, in most everything, it's our ability to move with that change and not just be complacent. But let me ask you, Andrea, do you watch sports?
Yeah, absolutely. As you know, as I said, I'm a huge baseball fan, and I'm from April until October, you know, my husband says, yeah, I'll see you in the fall.
he's not a baseball fan?
No, he will occasionally sit and watch a game with me while he reads a book, but no, he's not a baseball fan.
Oh, wow. My daughter is a fan of the San Francisco Giants, and they were just here in Houston a couple of nights ago playing, and they beat Houston, but she loves those Giants. I think that baseball is so funny to watch. It's just amazing to me. I don't know about you, Andrea, but it's amazing to me how people get so excited about moving the ball down from one position to the next. You know?
Well, one of my favorite things is like some of the statistics they track in baseball, you know, like the number of doubles by a left-handed catcher with blue eyes or something. I don't know. Every time they come up with a new one, I just laugh. I love it.
Wow, that's crazy. I didn't know they did that. Oh,
well, maybe
wow.
Not quite the blue eyes, but everything else is hilarious. Some of them, what they come up with, but you know, it's part of the fun of the game.
Yes. Well, listen, I want to thank our audience for tuning in. And next week's show, we'll have another guest who will talk about an ethical dilemma that she faced. And this lady is going to talk to us about her experience with HIV and AIDS. So we invite you listeners to tune in next Thursday at 12 noon Central Standard Time. And remember, I'm your host, Phyllis Wilson, the Do Right Guru. I may not have all the answers, but I'll help you find them.